We can only speak about heaven. Last night we spoke about hell. Very, very solemn subject, and yet a very necessary subject to confront. We spoke about hell. We noticed that where hell is, that we know exactly where hell is, that hell is just at the end of a Christ-rejecting life. That's where you'll find hell, just at the end of a life that is lived without Christ. You live your life without Christ, and you'll find hell just at the end of that life. We talked about what hell is like. We noticed that hell was a place of torment. And there's a man in hell and he's crying for a drop of water to cool his tongue because he was tormented in that flame. And we thought of how that drop of water was denied him and is still being denied him. A man alone in the anguish and sorrows of hell. We noticed it was a place of separation. There was no going out of hell to heaven. There was no coming from heaven down to hell. There was a great gulf that was fixed between the two. There was no escape from hell. We noticed it was a place of remembrance. There's a man in hell and he's remembering his lifetime. That's what Abraham says to him, remember your lifetime. And he's remembering his lifetime. And we noted last night that everyone that sat in the meeting last night, if they find themselves in hell, will remember the meeting. They'll remember the challenge of the word of God that was brought to them. They'll remember the fact that God spoke to them, that God warned them. And they'll remember that for all eternity. And that memory in itself will torment them forever and ever. We notice it was a place of prayer. There's a man in hell and he's praying. He's praying that someone would speak to his brothers lest they also come to this place of torment. And the last thing the man in hell wanted was for anyone to join him there. He wanted everyone to be warned to flee from the wrath to come and to flee to the Saviour of sinners, the Lord Jesus. But tonight we're going to look at heaven. It's a much nicer subject, isn't it? But I trust that we're not lulled into a sense of false security tonight, because we're going to notice that it's not everybody that's going to heaven. I know sometimes when we go to a graveyard and we listen to the individual that's taking the service, we almost get that sort of impression that everyone's going to be in heaven. But the Bible teaches me very clearly that everyone is not going to be in heaven. But the Bible teaches me that everybody can be in heaven. That God has made provision so that you can be in heaven. And God has made provision so that you as an individual can know that you'll be in heaven. And we're praying that you would have that assurance before the meeting is finished tonight. The wee verse that led us on to thinking about heaven and hell was that verse in Job chapter 14 where it says that man dies. And man wastes away, man gives up the ghost, and then the question is asked, where is he? Where is he? And last night we thought of the possibility of men after death being in hell. But let's read one or two verses in the New Testament, the book of the Revelation, that will speak to us about heaven. The book of the Revelation in chapter number 21. Revelation 21 and verse number 1 says, and this is John, he sees a vision. And he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was of the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 27 of the previous chapter says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And just a few words from the Lord Jesus himself in John's Gospel chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 1. The Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, that is heaven, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that's all we'll read, and we know that God blesses the reading of his word. The Apostle Paul, one of the early Christians, had a very unique experience one day. It was an experience that he kept to himself for a long time, until eventually he wrote about it as he wrote to a group of Christians in Corinth. And he talked about an experience when he was caught up into the third heaven. So Paul is indicating to us that there are not only one, but nor two, but there are three heavens. And what we wanted to talk about tonight is the third heaven, the heaven into which Paul was taken up. We're going to think of the heaven of heavens, the place where God dwells. You see, the first heavens are the aerial heavens. That's what we can see all around us. The place where we see the clouds, the place where we see the birds fly, the aerial heavens. And then beyond the aerial heavens, there is the stellar heavens, where the stars and the moons and the planets are. And then beyond that, there is the third heaven. There's the heaven of heavens, the dwelling place of God. And when we speak about heaven tonight, we're speaking about God's dwelling place. If heaven is the dwelling place of God, then heaven must be like God. It must be a place that would bear his characteristics. It must be a place that would radiate his nature and his being. And as we read the Bible, we discover that God is love. That God is life. That God is holiness. That God is peace. And as we think of all these different concepts that are in relation to God, we start to get a little idea of what heaven is like. It's so unlike here. It's a place of eternal love. There's no hatred in heaven. There's no backstabbing. There's no strife. There's no enemies. There is no fighting. There is just love, and there's peace, and there's holiness, and there's light. There's no darkness. Because heaven is the dwelling place of God. When the Bible describes a little about heaven, we'll discover that it describes it more in terms of what is not there rather than what is there. And we read that in heaven, there's no tears. There are no shed tears. Because there's a sense in which there is tears in heaven. Because the Bible tells us that God keeps our tears in a bottle. That's how interested God is in you and I as individuals. He sees every falling tear. And I'm sure there are many folks in the meeting tonight and you've shed tears. Maybe there are those that have shed tears today. And every tear has been noted by the God of heaven. And he stores up our tears in a bottle. But you know, when we get to heaven, there'll be no shed tears. Because when we get to heaven, there'll be no more death. No more death. There's hardly a soul in the meeting tonight. But hasn't he been confronted with that old enemy at some point in their life's experience? Some have lost partners. Some have lost mothers. Some have lost fathers. Some have lost brothers and sisters and friends and neighbours and colleagues at work. And we've known the awfulness of being confronted with death. But in heaven, there's no more death. Death is vanquished forever. There's no sorrows. There's no crying. There's no pain. There's no physical pain. There's no mental torture. There's no emotional hurt. It's all gone. It's never experienced by those that populate heaven. All these things characterize us, don't they? All these things characterize your life, they characterize my life. And why is it that all these things characterize us but don't characterize heaven? Why is there no death? Why is there no crying? Why is there no tears? Why is there no sorrow? Quite simply because in heaven there's no sin. You see, all these things we have talked about, the pain and the sorrows and death and tears, it's all because of sin. But in heaven there's no sin. And that's what we read at the end of Revelation 21, that there's nothing that defiles will ever enter there. Why? Because heaven is God's dwelling place and God is holy and there's no sin in heaven. But that causes a problem, doesn't it? Because you know tonight that there's sin in your heart. You know that every day that you live, you practice things that are wrong, you sin. So if you and I are sinners practicing sin every day that we live, how are we possibly going to get into heaven, this tremendous place of eternal delight and bliss? How are we going to get there if there's no sin there? Well, my friend, the simple lesson we've got to learn tonight is this, that if we ever hope to be in heaven, then we'll need to get something done about our sin. We'll need to get our sins forgiven. We'll need to get our sins cleansed before we die if we ever hope to be in heaven. And praise God, sins can be forgiven tonight. You can be made fit for heaven tonight by confessing your sins and trusting the Lord Jesus to be your Saviour. Because remember, you'll never carry your sins into heaven. You've got to get them dealt with before you pass through death. The Lord Jesus said, and we mentioned the verse last night, he says, if you die in your sin, he says, where I am, he says, hey, you can't come. I wonder if you were to die tonight, would you be dying in your sins? Because if you die tonight in your sins, you'll never be in heaven. But praise God, God is offering you tonight, he's offering you forgiveness. He says, listen, trust the Lord Jesus in your sins. I'll remember them no more. They'll be gone forever. The slate washed clean. Fitted for heaven through trusting in Jesus. There's no night in heaven. There's no candle, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, he will be the light of the place. His glory will radiate for all eternity and fill the courts of heaven with radiance. And the one that was the rejected light down here will be the radiant light up there. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into time 2,000 years ago, he says, I am the light of the world. He came to bring something of the glory of God to men, to display the character of God to men's heart. And men says, listen, we don't want you and we don't want God. They say, we prefer our darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. That's where our world still is tonight, isn't it? Men love the darkness. They love the shadows. They love just to practice their own thing and commit their sin in the quietness and in the darkness. And men said no to the Lord Jesus and they put him out in Calvary. He died. But that one that was rejected as the light of the world is going to be the radiant light of heaven. And there'll be no need for a moon and there'll be no need for a candle and there'll be no need for a sun because the glory of the Lord Jesus will radiate throughout heaven for all eternity. under my feet, mate. Are you still taking sides with those men that cried away with Jesus? Are you still saying no to him? Do you still prefer your sins to the darkness? My friend, if you continue in your sins, then where he is, you'll never, never, never be. The Bible talks about some of the things that are there. And we sung about them as well as read about them. We discover there's a river in heaven. A river of water, of life. That's interesting, isn't it? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he not only presents himself in the scriptures and the gospel as being the light of the world, but he presents himself as that living water. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now of his inward part shall flow rivers of living water. He says to the thirsty woman at the well, he says, the water that I give you, it will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the one that is going to bring satisfaction and joy to men's hearts for all eternity is the Lord Jesus. And he brings joy and satisfaction to my heart now. I wonder, does he bring satisfaction to yours? Have you drunk of the living water? Have you drunk of that river of water of life that flows from the Lord Jesus? Have you tasted, have you experienced that life abundant that only Christ can give? I notice there's a throne in heaven. It's the throne of God and of the Lamb. God's authority, God's rule, God's power is preeminent in heaven. Everything is subject to him. There's no dissenting voices. There's no uprisings. There's no rebellion in heaven. The throne of God and the Lamb is there. And God and the Lord Jesus reign supreme forever. Now we think of what the Lord Jesus Christ was given when he was here. He was given a cursed cross. He was given a crown of thorns. He was given a reed for a scepter. He was given that mocking scarlet robe and draped across his shoulders. And the words were spoken in mockery, "Hail, King of the Jews." And he was rejected as king and nailed on a cross, crucified outside the city. Men had no place for him. Ah, praise God in heaven, there's a throne, and the one that sits on the throne is the Lamb, the Christ of God, reigning supreme. I want to tell you tonight, my friend, there's a little taste of heaven in my soul tonight. Because not only have I drunk of that river of water of life, but I've acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and King of my life. What about you tonight? What about you tonight? Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks his admission, tell me, but will you let him in? Will you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to take over the throne room of your life and reign supreme? Will you bow to his authority in every area and every aspect of your life? Because those who are in heaven are those who will not only bow to his authority for eternity, but are those that have started to bow to his authority here in time. I notice there's a tree there, the tree of life. I notice it's got 12 manner of fruit. It's got a different fruit for every month. Ah, my friend, there's just an abundance of supply. There's abundance of provision to satisfy the hearts of men forever. What a place. What a contrast to hell. A man languishing in the depths of the darkness of hell, and he's crying for a drop of water, and there's none. Not a drop of water in hell, but a river of water in heaven. Not a morsel of bread in hell, but there's a tree that is constantly bringing forth its fruits. Oh, my friend, God makes full eternal provision for all those that trust in the Lord Jesus. He guarantees them a place in that glorious heaven. I wonder, do you have the assurance tonight that that's where you're going?
We didn't read it, but I noticed there's a bride in heaven. There's a bride in heaven. It's the bride of the Lamb. It's the bride of Christ. Oh, there's going to be a marriage in heaven one day. You see, who's going to be married? Well, the bridegroom is the Lord Jesus. And the bride is the church. I don't mean the Church of Scotland or any other sort of denomination, whatever it might be. No, the church is made up of every individual that has received Christ as Lord. Everyone that is saved. Everyone that has been born again is part of this glorious church. And there's coming a day when it is going to be presented to the Lord Jesus as his bride. I'm part of that church today. I'm part of that glorious bride that looks forward to that day when it's going to be totally and absolutely united with the Lord Jesus in heaven for all eternity. What a glorious prospect. There's a man in hell, and he's praying that none would ever join him. There's folks in heaven tonight. Born part of the bride of Christ, and their longing, the longing of their soul, is that others would join them. The longing is that loved ones down here would trust the Saviour. Become part of that same bride to look forward to that day of marital bliss when they're united with Christ in heaven for eternity. There's mansions in heaven. That's what the Lord Jesus spoke about, wasn't it? He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it wasn't so, he says, I would have told you. He says, I'm not hiding anything from you. I want you to know that in heaven, there are mansions, many mansions. What he's really saying is this, there's room for everything. Many mansions. I wonder, my friend, is there room for you? Is there a place for you? The Lord Jesus said to these disciples, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. A place among the many mansions for a man like Peter, a rough fisherman from Galilee. For a man like Matthew, who was a traitor, a tax collector, working for the Romans among the Jews. The Lord says, listen, I've prepared a place for you. I want you to know there's a mansion in heaven waiting for you. I want you to thank God tonight that there's a mansion in heaven waiting for me. The Lord Jesus has prepared a place for me. I wonder, is there a place prepared for you? Well, there's many mansions. It's not like some of these exclusive housing estates, you know, where the demand outstrips the supply. My friend, there's room for all. Any that wants a mansion in heaven, I tell you, they can get one tonight. I read in the paper the other week there about people that were queuing up, they were sleeping in their cars at some exclusive housing estate in Edinburgh because they were desperate to be first in the queue to secure their house. Because the numbers were limited. My friend, I want to tell you, there's no limit to the numbers of mansions in heaven. There's one available for every that wants it. My friend, you'll need to put your name down. You'll need to put your name down. Because we noted, didn't we? That those who occupy the mansions in heaven are those whose names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll need to get your name down. See, how can I get my name down? My friend, by simply coming to the Lord Jesus then. And acknowledging your unworthiness, your unfitness. Acknowledging before the Lord and before his Father that tonight you're not fit for heaven. But thanking him from the depths of your heart that he died. And shed his blood so that you might be fit. So that you might be. That you might be equipped. To occupy a mansion in glory. The Lord Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So Someone said it must be some place if you take 6 days to prepare the world, and he's taking 2,000 years to prepare heaven. I don't think that's really the idea right now. I think he prepared the place at Calvary, because the Lord Jesus Christ had to deal with the problem of sin, because there was not a single individual could ever get into heaven apart from the question of sin being dealt with. And that's what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary. That's where he prepared heaven. That's where he opened up the possibility for heaven. He opened up at the cross when he died for our sins. He died to take them away. He died so that our sins could be forgiven. And he not only died for our sins and was buried, but 3 days later he rose, and then he ascended back into heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ entered heaven as a man. The writer to the Hebrews talks about our forerunner who has for us entered, even Jesus. There's a man in heaven tonight, and he's prepared heaven. He's made heaven a possibility for men like you and I. And one day heaven is going to be popular, and heaven will be filled with men and women that are just like Christ. Men and women who at some point in the course of their life have come to the Lord Jesus as poor sinners, and they've repented of their sins and they've put their trust in Him, and they've experienced the cleansing of His precious blood. My friend tonight, are you bound for heaven? God wants you to be in heaven. Christ died that you might be in heaven. The Holy Spirit would plead with you tonight to get ready for heaven. And the only way of getting ready is just by coming as a sinner to Jesus. And if you come tonight and trust Him, then your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there will be a mansion reserved in heaven just for you. Would you not like just to be able to lay your head on the pillow tonight and have that assurance that come what may, heaven is your home for eternity? Remember, there's only two places. It's either heaven or hell. There's no in between. My friend, the choice is yours tonight. God gives you that choice. You're an intelligent, you're a moral being. You have a will of your own. God says, choose tonight. Choose tonight where you're going to be in eternity. As you are in your sins, you're heading for hell. You're heading that broad road leading to destruction. But you can turn tonight. You can come to the cross. You can acknowledge that Christ died for you. You can put your trust in Him. And you can start tonight on that road to heaven with a deep assurance in your heart that everything's well for you, with your soul, for eternity. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, again we just pray before Thee. We have done again all that we can do. We can only preach the word. We can only leave the appeal with those who have listened tonight. It's only Thou, our God, that can save. It's only Thou that can open people's eyes. It's only Thou, our God, by Thy Spirit, that can bring men and women to that point of repentance and faith. So we ask, our God, that Thou would do this work in people's hearts tonight. Cause them to be awakened. Cause them, our God, to be stirred. Cause them to realise that time is brief and short, our God, and that they can't play with these important matters. Grant, our God, that some tonight would come and trust the Lord Jesus and know the joy of having their sins forgiven, and know the assurance tonight that they're bound for heaven for eternity. We ask these things as we ask the parting blessing in the Lord's name. Amen. I will just sing a verse of a hymn. Hymn number 260. I'm just going to sing verse number 2, but the first verse is, where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? The verse 2, the verse that we're going to sing, says, many are choosing Christ today. Many in China. 8,000 souls every day in China are trusting Christ as a saviour. Amazing, eh? Over there in China, 8,000 souls today trusted Christ. Many are choosing Christ. In South Korea, there are many who are choosing the Lord Jesus, trusting Christ, the Saviour. Many parts of Africa, many parts of India, every time the gospel is preached, there are individuals that are choosing Christ. There are people getting saved all over the world tonight. People are choosing Christ. Many are choosing Christ today, turning from all their sins away. Heaven shall their happy portion be. But where will you spend eternity? Will you choose Christ? Will you receive him tonight as your Saviour? Just remain seated and sing that verse 2 of 260, and then the meeting's finished. Thank you.